Please pray with me. Into your presence we come, Father God, as your children have done throughout the centuries. In vast cathedrals, parish churches, chapels, homes, warehouses, converted cinemas, lonely, isolated places, alone or gathered together with others, your church is wherever your people meet, together in worship, in fellowship, and in prayer. Your presence is discernible wherever your spirit is allowed to enter. Be with us now, loving Father. Into your presence we come, Father God, mindful of our own failings, our thoughts, words, and actions that have shown nothing of your love. Forgive us, loving Father. Into your presence we come, Father God, remembering the sacrifices of your Son on a cruel cross so that we might know freedom from guilt of sin and be made right again with our Creator. Thank you, loving Father. Amen.
Would you turn and greet those around you with signs of peace? Good morning and welcome to Newburgh United Methodist. I'm Chris Nunley, lead pastor. It's good to be with you this morning on another great day. It is the first Sunday in our Lenten season, and we're grateful for your presence with us during this whole season of Lent. We have some very special things going on during this season, and some things listed in your bulletin, some other things we'll mention in a moment, but we're grateful for your presence here. And we'd like to know that you were here today, too, and so inside your bulletin is this flap. Just tear it out, fill it out, and drop it in the offering plate. Let us know that you were here. We'd like to communicate with you and let you know who we are, and let us get to know who you are as well. So please do that for us, getting us some pertinent information. A couple of important things to note. Number one, every Sunday during the Lenten season, every Saturday during the Lenten season is a men's Lenten breakfast. The churches of the Warwick County United Methodist Churches are getting together on Saturday morning, inviting men throughout the county to come to breakfast on Saturdays. Yesterday morning, we met at Chandler United Methodist Church. This coming Saturday, we're meeting here at the church, here at Newburgh United Methodist. Breakfast is at 7:13, and we've got a great program this Saturday. Pastor Todd is going to be sharing, along with some of the team, about the Mission Guatemala Pharmacy Project, which you're going to hear about a little bit later on this morning as well, but they'll expand upon that a little bit more on Sunday. On Saturday. But gentlemen, we would love to have you come and join us for breakfast, at least, if not for any other time during the Lent, at least next Saturday here at the church. It's going to be great as we welcome 70 or 80 guys from around the county to share with us for breakfast. So come and share with us Saturday morning. Secondly, the important thing that's going on is 2 weeks from this weekend. It's something that you've been hearing me talk about over the last several months, but now we're getting closer and closer to it, so I want to make sure that you know and understand a little bit more about it. It's called our Fruitful Congregational Journey. This is a journey that we've been on. We've been reading books. We've been meeting together as a small group of leaders, visioning together. Well, 2 weeks from now, the March 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, is our consultation weekend. We have a consultation team coming in with us to listen to us, to have some interviews with us as a staff and key leaders. There's going to be a focus group of individuals throughout the church that's going to be meeting with our consultation team. And then on Saturday, March the 2nd, is a whole church workshop. Starts at 10 o'clock in the morning and runs until 3 in the afternoon. Lunch is going to be provided for you. But we'd love for you to come and participate in this great weekend. It's going to be exciting to think and pray and vision a bit together about our church for the future. And so we ask that you please make yourself available on that Saturday, especially from 10 until 3. And then on Sunday morning, there's two worship services. Our consultation team will be there with us in worship. And then right after each service on that Sunday, there'll be a congregational meeting, last about 15 minutes or so, where we'll hear the report of our consultation team. They'll be writing that on and finishing it up on Saturday. They'll share it with us on Sunday morning after each service. So we invite you, on that weekend especially, to participate fully. Then one last thing. On Friday evening, we are having a focus group. Some of you have received invitations to be a part of that focus group. It's just a small group of folks. But if you've received an invitation to that focus group, that means we'd really like for you to be a part of that conversation. So if you've not gotten back with us or back with Joe Williams, who's leading the charge for us in this, please get back with him and confirm your reservation for that evening, because it's really important to us to have your conversation around the table. Friends, it's going to be a great weekend. We invite you to continue to pray for us during that weekend or in between now and then as well, that God might really help us understand what it is that our future is going to look like together in our ministry. So don't forget that, the Fruitful Congregational Consultation Weekend. And then lastly, before we jump back into worship, I noticed this morning that our table is set for Holy Communion. I know for those of you who are regulars, this is unusual in our schedule. We usually share Holy Communion the first Sunday of each month. But during Lent, we decided that it was an important thing that we do Holy Communion, share Holy Communion each Sunday during Lent. So we're going to give you an opportunity of sharing in the sacrament on a regular basis during this season. Know that you are welcome to participate with us in this sacrament. You do not have to be a member of our church. You don't have to be a member of any church. All you have to have is a desire to meet Jesus Christ, and he will meet you in this moment. It's a holy mystery to us, and so we invite you this morning. When we make that invitation, follow the direction of the ushers. Come forward, receive that bread, touch it to the surface of the cup as we do the intinction method, and then eat with great thanksgiving. You can spend some time at the kneelers and pray if you'd like, but we invite you to share with us in this time of worship this morning. Worship fully. Now I invite the children to come down with me and let's share together for a moment. Good morning, boys and girls. Come in here close. Everybody could see. It's good to see you this morning. Is everybody awake? Ready to go?
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Hey, you know what? I just mentioned a minute ago that we are in a very special season here at the church. Can anybody tell me what the name of this season is?
Valentine's
Day. Well, that was a very special day this week. That's right. What else? Well, just tell me. What is it?
Lent.
Very good. Lent is the season that we're in. And what is Lent? What's the important Sunday at the very end of Lent that we're going to celebrate together? What is it, Lucy? Well, Palm Sunday is a key one in the middle of it, but there's another one Sunday right after that. Yes? Easter, that's right. Lent is preparing us for Easter. That's really what Lent is all about, is to help us to think about Easter and prepare ourselves for Easter and prepare for that great celebration that we're going to have on Easter Sunday morning. But what do we do during these times of Lent? You'll notice that in our sanctuary, we've even prepared things a little differently in the sanctuary. What do we do differently in the sanctuary for Lent? You know? You notice anything different from last Sunday to this Sunday? What do you notice? Everything's purple instead of green. That's exactly right. We use purple as a color for the season of Lent instead of green. Green is the season of our regular Sundays, and then purple is the Sunday for Lent. Now, why do you think we might use purple? Yeah, why is everything purple? What do you think? That's the color of Lent, that's right. Well, there's some other reasons why we use purple too. Why do you think? Why? Okay, that's right. We love Jesus, and so we use the color purple. And partly that's really the reason, because purple is the color of royalty. Kings wear purple, right? Lots of kings and queens might wear purple because it's called a rich color. It's a color that only the richest people could afford years ago. And so purple is a color of royalty. And we know Jesus is our king, so we use purple for that time. You'll notice in our sanctuary, listen up, boys and girls, you'll notice in our sanctuary in the weeks to come, we're going to change some of the other things too. We'll use some different symbols. Like on that cloth on the big table, there's a symbol of a cross. And there's something around the cross. What is that? You see what that is? What is that, Lucy? It's a crown of thorns. That's right. And then there's a picture of Jesus up there on the wall. He's got a crown of thorns on his head. And in fact, on the pulpit, there's another picture of a... What is that on the pulpit right there? Is it a cross? And there's a... What's that? It's a little lamb. That's right. So these symbols and images are going to share or help us to see Lent differently. But here's what I want you to listen. Listen up, boys and girls. Here's what I want you to learn. During the season of Lent, it's supposed to remind us that we're supposed to trust Jesus just a little bit more during the season. Because maybe we don't trust him enough. We don't believe him enough. And so the Lenten season is to remind us to trust Jesus. So in fact, what I want you to do is every time you see the color purple, do you see the color purple in other places besides church? Sometimes you might wear a purple shirt or a purple ribbon, or you'll see purple at school or in a book. Whenever you see the color purple, listen, boys and girls, whenever you see the color purple, I want you to think about Easter and that Jesus is preparing us for Easter. So when you see the color purple, think, I want to trust Jesus just a little bit more. Let's pray together. Thank you, God, for these boys and girls and for the growth that they have in you. May you help them to see you during the season as they remember you, as they see the color purple, and remind them of the Easter celebration that you're preparing them for and us. We thank you for them and for your son, Jesus. And in his name we pray, amen. Thank you, boys and girls. You can go on to Children's Church.
Almost lost. It was a tough crowd there. We want to share a little bit about Mission Guatemala, our pharmacy project. Guatemala is one of the poorest nations in the Western Hemisphere, and seeing this need, United Methodist pastor Tom Heaton started a mission there that's called Mission Guatemala, and our youth went there a couple years ago and with some of their leaders, and we had, of course, Tom for our Faith Promise speaker a year ago. In an effort to focus more and make an impact more on one mission, our mission team sent a vision team down to Guatemala this year, and because we believe going there was important. Shane Claiborne once said, I think that's what the world is desperately in need of. Lovers, people who are building deep, genuine relationships with fellow strugglers along the way, who actually know the faces of the people behind the issues that they are concerned about. And so we traveled there not just to explore how we could be a mission, but in a sense to fall in love with these people and to help our congregation to love them as well. I want to show you a short video, and then I'm going to ask my vision team here to share a few words. Let's roll the video.
Some nights I stay up, cashing in my bad luck. Some nights I call it a draw. Some nights I wish that my lips could build a castle. Some nights I wish they just fall off. But I still wake up, I still see a gospel. Lord, I'm still not sure what I stand for.
Mission Guatemala has been serving the needs of the poor Mayan people since 2000. We could see God's love in the faces of the village people, the interaction of the mission staff, and the life-saving projects they are doing there. The stove project provides efficient wood-burning stoves with ventilation pipes. They use less wood, and provide a healthier, safer environment. We were so blessed to experience the feeding program in Nueva Esperanza, where over 100 children receive a healthy and nutritious lunch 5 days a week. This is where, in 2011, the mission team from our church broke ground on a wonderful feeding center. The children were immediately welcoming with hugs and high fives. They loved the digital camera where they could see their own faces. The Guatemalan teachers at the school expressed their praise to God for the blessings of Mission Guatemala and the support by our church. We were so pleased with the medical clinic. 5 days a week, there's a medical doctor and dentist. The clinic is licensed, extremely clean, with no expired medication on the shelf. Their patients are treated with privacy and respect. No one is denied access to the doctor due to lack of funds. All medications, even over-the-counter, are given by the physician with directions in their own language. It was easy to see God's love in the compassion and care given by the staff of Mission Guatemala.
As Cassie said, it's easy to see the desperate need there and also the great work that's been done by Mission Guatemala. You know, these people, you saw the pictures, live in houses made of corrugated metal, dirt floors. No heat, no water, no plumbing. Maybe they have an open fire for cooking and for heat. If they're very lucky, they have one of the stoves from Mission Guatemala. But anyway, it's a pretty desperate situation. So we would the clinic is out in the amongst the villages. The villages are maybe 25 to 50 families each, and we would get there in the morning and. Usually before the clinic opened, we would see a line of people that were waiting to see the doctor or the dentist. One particular morning, I saw this woman, young mother. She had three little bambinos standing there beside her, and they're so cute. You saw them on the pictures. So I went up to pat them on the head and could see that, you know, their eyes were watery, their noses were running. They weren't feeling good, all three of them. Looked over at the mother. She'd had a long night. If you can imagine, in this hut with the dirt floor and three sick kids, she'd probably walked at least 30 minutes with those kids to get to the clinic. So it was a tough day for her. So anyway, I patted him on the head and said, "Lo siento," which means I'm sorry. Went on to do some other things and just happened to come back by there when she was coming out of the clinic. Well, you could see a huge relief in her face. I'm sure the cure wasn't instant, but the doctor had probably given her some penicillin or given the kids some penicillin, maybe some aspirin, some pretty basic stuff. So there is a great need there. It's really a good situation because there's a need there. We have the resources to do it. We have a great partner in Tom Heaton, and we can make this happen.
There was much appreciation expressed to us throughout the week, whether it was in just the smiles that we saw around the clinic or maybe a quiet nod by an elderly gentleman that was waiting to see the doctor. Certainly it was in the way that the kids gathered around us and almost mobbed us when we arrived at the clinic or at the Nuevo Esperanza site. Perhaps on the most appreciation was showed on our last morning. One of Tom Heaton's assistants, his name was Raul, he gave a little farewell speech that was very special. He thanked us for coming on behalf of all the Mayan people. He thanked God for sending us, and he thanked us for the sacrifice of time and money to make the trip. I wish we could have taped his presentation because it was just so special. After we got back, the most common question asked of myself, and it was even asked today by several folks, is, "Would you go back?" It seems to be the question on folks' minds. And the answer is absolutely, I would go back. It was a great experience. I think if any of you were looking for a mission experience, I think this one would be near perfect.
So this is Mission Guatemala, and it's our pharmacy project that we're looking at. You're going to be hearing a lot more about the pharmacy project and how our church is funding some of the pharmaceutical needs they have, and how you all can participate in some of the over-the-counter needs that they have. You'll be hearing a lot more about that in the next couple weeks and even in months as we kind of help to underwrite their pharmacy at Mission Guatemala. Let me close with this. Jesus once said, "When I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me." This pharmacy project is a kingdom project. It is indeed a mission that we can participate in God's work. So look forward to seeing how we can bless these people in the next few months and year.
Please stand and listen for the word of God from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. "Everybody who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise builder who built a house on bedrock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat against that house. It didn't fall because it was firmly set on bedrock. But everybody who hears these words of mine and doesn't put them into practice will be like a fool who built a house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat against that house. It fell and was completely destroyed." When Jesus finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he was teaching them like someone with authority and not like their legal experts. This is God's word for God's people. Thank you, God. Please be seated.
That was just to wake you up just a little bit this morning. Anytime you use the who in church, that's always an exciting thing. The idea of this series is to remind us of this man Jesus. We're looking at him in a very different way over this season of Lent. We're reading a book together, Who is This Man? By John Ortberg. We're even having conversations in our Sunday school classes and our small groups about that, watching a video and reading the book and talking about some really key ideas. Recognizing this Jesus in history has impacted us in some way. And so we're looking at what is his impact been for you and for me. How can we take that impact of Jesus and take it further in the midst of our lives? So that's what we're looking at over these next few weeks together. So I wanted to kind of begin this process this morning by just thinking a little bit about what this all means for us. Looking at the idea of who is this man to me? So as we jump into this conversation, I invite you to join me in a moment of prayer. God, thank you for bringing yourself into our presence day after day after day. We may not always pay attention to you. We may not always know that you're there, but you've promised always to be. So God, here in this moment, in this place, in this holy season, draw near to us, and us, may we draw near to you. Use us this morning in this moment of meditation. Use those who listen in with us on the internet, and use me especially, so that what we hear this day is nothing less than the very word you speak, who is Jesus, the Savior and our Lord. Amen. I don't know about you, I'm a little bit of a news junkie. I like to watch the news, listen to the news, read the news. I'm always on a couple of different websites online just about every day. There's always seeming one of them is up on my desktop so I can pay attention to what's going on the news. If something's breaking, I want to know about it. I'm watching the news a lot. Sometimes maybe too much, but I'm always paying attention to what's going on. And with some anticipation this week, I've been watching the news, the weatherman, the scientists from NASA. I've been waiting and expecting and anticipating this flyby of this great meteor coming through our solar system, the one that's going to that just passed by on Friday. It was a pretty big event, and everybody was excited about it. In fact, there was a lot of people a little nervous about it, thinking that maybe this was the culminating event of history. This was the apocalypse ready to happen. Now, I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't anticipating that in any way, but I was expecting to find out more about it. I was ready to read about this great meteor that was having a close encounter with us in some way. And so then, to my surprise and to so many others' surprise, Friday morning, wasn't it, that there's another meteor that comes flying into our world and lands in the midst of Russia up in the Ural Mountains, and it changed things for an awful lot of people. In fact, in those moments, when I was reading the stories of what happened in those moments, people were very afraid. They had no idea what was happening. They didn't know if this was that other meteor that was passing by, if it was a related event. In fact, they didn't even know that's what it was. Some even speculated in Russia at the time, early in the day, that this must have been a secret weapon from the U.S. Now, that may seem a little funny, but at the moment, can you imagine the tensions that rose pretty quickly among the Russian people and even those in the United States as they hear what's taking place between nations? Yes, there was a big event that happened on Friday morning, and it scared a lot of people. It injured hundreds. It made people wonder about what was going on. In fact, we realized that this is an isolated event in some ways, but yet it's also a very common event that we get, I've read some of the details from NASA, that we're receiving tens of tons of material from outer space that land or come into our atmosphere every day. Tons of stuff from outer space come into our atmosphere and onto our Earth every day. Most of it burns up before it ever gets to the ground. Most of it is probably the size of a speck of sand, but when you have a piece of rock from space the size of a bus that enters the atmosphere, it changes things. That impacted the people of Russia in a pretty amazing way. And for a moment, maybe had some opportunity of impacting the rest of the world. Fortunately, the impact wasn't so much a crater in the ground as it was a few broken windows and some cuts and bruises, but fortunately, nobody lost their life in the process. And things are getting put back together. Even the report this morning that I saw is that more than half the windows have already been replaced in this cold place in the mountains. So things are coming back to normal already. But as I thought about that process, and then also the event that happened on Friday, that other meteor that passed through our solar system, that passed literally through our atmosphere and then ended up back out in space again, really wasn't an event at all. It was kind of one of those non-events in our history. It's one of those things that people are so looking forward to, and while we may have some scientific data that came from it, and we might learn a few things about extraterrestrial events that are happening close to our world, it really didn't impact us at all. In fact, it really was one of those things where we just happen in this moment, this one particular moment in time, that our orbit intersected with another orbit of another body in our space, in our solar system, and we'll probably never see it again, at least not that one. We'll see others that will happen along the way. And it just got me thinking about the idea between this idea of this intersection that happens and this impact that happens. It's two very different events, but yet similar. And yet one, which was unexpected, made a larger impact than the one that was expected. I thought that was interesting. In fact, it's so interesting in that there's a difference between the idea of intersection and impact. We intersect with people all the time. We intersect in individuals' lives. Our lives intersect with one another's in some way. We have intersection with all kinds of people in the midst of our lives. We intersect with people that we know, people that we recognize, people that are at work or at school. We intersect our lives with others all the time, but yet they're just kind of like fringe relationships. We're not really connected to those people in many ways. Our lives kind of intersect. A few years ago, I was on a plane trip from Kansas City to Chicago. And on the plane was a political figure. I'm not going to mention who it was. It was a political figure that was in the news quite regularly. And I thought, well, this is kind of cool. I might get a chance to meet this person. It never happened. We just happened to share the flight. They sat a few rows in front of me, and our lives in some ways were intersected, but that's really all. He didn't recognize me at all. We didn't meet. And even though I recognized him, there really was no change in my life because of that encounter. It was just an intersection of two lives on an airplane that didn't go anywhere. And it really made me think about my life and Jesus in that instance. Because I have a feeling that often, like that encounter with a political figure, really didn't change my life. And oftentimes we have an encounter with Jesus, this figure, because we come to church or we've heard the story, or somehow in the midst of this, of his life and his influence over culture and history, as we're going to be looking at over the next several weeks, his life is intersected with ours in some surprising ways, maybe even ways that we've never even considered before. But yet maybe they're just intersections and not impacts. Just like the meteors, one was an intersection with our orbit, the other one was an impact. One had no difference, and the other one made a great deal of difference. And I just wonder, in our relationship with Christ, in our intersection with life, with Jesus, in our intersection with him, in his life, in our life, have we allowed for that intersection to become something more than just understanding his story or hearing his story or participating in his story? But have we allowed his story? Will we allow his influence upon this world and upon our lives to begin to impact us? You see, that's what the Lenten season really is all about. It's not to just listen to the story again and to read the story again or to kind of participate more and come to church more. It's about letting this story have some new effect on us, a more complete effect on us. You see, the Jesus intersection in life is really not meant to just be an intersection. Jesus came, when he came into this world, for a purpose. When he came into this world, there's a reason for it, not just for the time, but for the future. And his life, as it impacted not only the first century, and as it grew, as you read through the book and as you talk about this in your small groups, you'll probably discover this, is what you'll recognize is that Jesus' influence and impact continues to grow in society, continues to grow throughout the world. It hasn't stopped. It hasn't slowed down. It just continues to have this even greater ripple effect, Jesus's life and impact. But the difference for us is that we get to choose how Jesus's life impacts ours. We can let him be just one of those fringe relationships that we hear the story, we get to know more about it. We might even participate more in it in the life of the church during the Lenten season. We might hear more sermons about it. We might read more about it. We might even get in a small group to hear about it, but we can still leave it just as arm's length away from us. We can allow it only to be an intersection point and not an impact one. Notice the difference. My question for you during this Lenten season is just really to consider those two ideas. Has Jesus' life just been an intersection for me? Or has he really impacted me? Have I allowed his love, his grace, his way, his justice, his thoughts, his ways of dealing with people and with ideas, have we allowed that to change the way I think? And I live and I experience life and those around me. Have I allowed Jesus to impact my world, my life, my heart? I'm going to leave it at that this morning. We have a lot of conversations to have over the next several weeks, and I just wanted you to think about that as we begin this season of Lent. It's a reminder to us that we need a season of Lent to shift our focus, to shift our attention, to make sure that we're thinking about and putting to mind these ideas that Christ does make a difference to us. And Easter should be the moment that we prepare ourselves for, that should be the highest holy day of our lives, not only in the church, but in us. But we prepare ourselves to really celebrate the fullness of Easter by letting the greatest impact of Jesus happen on us during the season of Lent. So that's my question to you. That's my challenge to you. Has Jesus been simply an intersection event or an impactful one? In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus has been preaching and teaching for a few moments. He's been teaching some key understandings in Israel's history. He's talking about the Ten Commandments. He's talking about just some basic understandings of what it means to pray and to fast and to give. And at the very end of this Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 7, it's 5, 6, and 7 is his sermon. And the very end of chapter 7 is when we heard Neil read these words. He's concluding his message with this simple thing. And it's the difference between intersect and impact. He says, everybody who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise builder who built his house on bedrock. The rains came, the floods came, and the house stood firm. The question for us, are we one who builds like the wise builder, or do we think we know better in the midst of our life? And we don't let Jesus' words impact us too much because we kind of like the way things are the way they are. Question is, are we building our house on rock or on sand? Jesus is challenging us, and we're going to look at his authority over these next several weeks. The question for you is, are you going to allow it to impact you or just be another intersection? Amen.
Come, all who have inflicted or accepted oppression, we share in the world's sin. Come, all who make distinctions among people, we participate in the brokenness of God's family. Come, all who respond to false voices of the world, God is calling us away from our former limitations. Let us confess then together. Sovereign God, we confess our desire to reshape your world to our own advantage. We move more concerned with what we eat than who will get to eat today. Our own security is more important to us than our health and safety of our children. The first fruit of our labor, grace, and the altars of our own desires instead of honoring you. We prefer that you keep your distance from us unless we need you. We like promises without commands, gifts without responsibilities. Oh God, we confess that our ways don't work. Turn us around for true worship and service as forgiven people. Amen. All who call on God will know salvation. Those who cling to God will be delivered. How great is the joy of people who are loved, forgiven, and set free to become a new creation through Christ Jesus. God's gifts are for you. Receive them in trust, knowing that God's presence and protections are yours to enjoy every day. We now thank the ushers for serving us this morning.
Something about the meal that Christ shared with his disciples that night that continues to unite people like us in this world. People in the church throughout the world that sit around the table of Christ and we eat a little piece of bread and a little cup of juice, or we dip it into the juice. Something really mysterious and powerful about that. It's called Holy Communion because it's more than just our communion with one another and with God. There's something mysterious and holy about it. That's why Jesus gave it to us. He gave it to his disciples around the Seder table when he just offered the prayer that they'd heard many times before for its blessing, and then he broke the bread and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take and eat, for this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." As then when the supper was over, Jesus took the cup and he filled it. He blessed it with the traditional blessing, and then he gave it to his disciples and he said, This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it. Remember me. So this morning, we're going to do just that. We're going to remember the mystery and power of a simple meal that may draw us closer to this impactful Jesus. So I want to invite you to pray with me as my communion servers, if you could come join me this morning. And let's pray together. Gracious God, we ask for your touch upon our lives this morning as we come together as a community of faith. May you impact us with this simple meal of bread and juice. May you be present in this meal. Become for us the very body and blood of Christ so that we can be the body of Christ redeemed by your blood so that we can be in ministry to the whole world. So gracious God, meet us in this moment. Make it holier than we've ever experienced. Change us through it in your mystery, in your power. For we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who taught us when we pray to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power and the glory forever." Body of Christ broken for us, the blood of Jesus Christ shed for us. Thanks be to God. Body of Christ for you, Todd. The blood of Christ for you. Body of Christ for you. We invite you this morning, follow the direction of the ushers to come forward to receive the bread, touch it to the surface of the cup, and eat with great thanksgiving. Let us serve you this morning. And if you prefer or if you need gluten-free elements, please ask when you come forward. We have those available too. Come and let's eat together.
don't you all stand and sing with me our closing song this morning?
Water you turned into wine, open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, yeah. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? Stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God,
friends, this Lenten season is really a chance for us to let Christ's life impact ours. Will you go this day recognizing that he's present with us? He's always present with us. He's always around us. He's always pursuing us, this great God of ours. He keeps coming after us to love us, to change us somehow for the better. And we allow this Lenten season for our lives to be truly impacted by the real Jesus. And we discover him more than we ever have before. Go this day in his grace, in his love, and in his peace always. Amen.
Water you turn into wine, open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine, and out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, yeah. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And If our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God.